and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And we're here with episode number 8, which we're titling Sitting on the Porch, Looking Left. And it's an election year, and not only is it an election year, but we're getting closer and closer to the election. And as such, the appropriate commercials have been on the television. There's been one in particular that they've been playing a lot recently that has been getting on my nerves.
Yes.
Because it keeps talking about the radical left, quote unquote. Right. And I complained about it so much that you, for my sake, wrote down what they say at the end of the ad.
It's an attack ad against Joe Biden by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the ad ends with, "The radical left has taken over Joe Biden. Don't let them take over America."
Yeah, and it has like radical left in big letters and like Bernie Sanders and AOC.
And sirens in the background.
Oh, it's terrible. And it got me thinking we should do an episode about the radical left.
Yes.
Because that apparently is a term Donald Trump calls everybody radical left. And so thought we should talk about that a little bit.
Well, if we're going to talk about the radical left, then it's in our best interest to know what is the radical left, at least in the eyes of conservatives.
Yeah. What's their version of the radical left?
And the origins of that terminology.
Yeah, and why do they like demonize?
Oh, yes.
Like, they're gonna be like, he's a liberal Democrat.
Not just a Democrat, liberal Democrat.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, I'm gonna tell you. So I've put together some information spanning multiple decades, a timeline of sorts.
Cool.
Of how conservatives and their rhetoric have shaped the way that they speak about and view liberals.
Okay, awesome.
Liberals. So we're going to go back in time to 1940.
Yeah, I'm going to take a trip.
The 40s.
Okay.
Back in the 40s, I don't know if you're aware, but Roosevelt was president. And he had this thing called the New Deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
New Deal got a lot of attention, was in the media pretty much nonstop. Conservatives, Republicans, did not like that.
Yeah, you don't say.
And much like today, which I found very interesting, they felt as though they weren't being fairly represented in the media. So they decided to create their own media.
Wow.
In the form of some magazines.
Okay.
1944, they created the magazine called Human Events.
Human Events.
I didn't make that title. They did. 1950, they made a magazine called American Mercury.
Okay.
And just a side note, Mercury was purchased in 1952 by Russell McGuire, who is a pretty prominent businessman and openly anti-Semitic white guy.
Lovely.
So using these mediums, conservatives began attacking institutions that they believed to be condoning liberal, i.e. communist, ideologies. And one of their first stops was in higher ed.
Okay.
You know the guy, not personally, thankfully, William F. Buckley?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Real smart guy, kind of
very
a dick.
Very smart, kind of a dick.
Yeah.
So he actually wrote an article in the magazine American Mercury accusing higher ed of conspiring against giving Americans facts. Saying like colleges were hiding the truth.
Oh, okay.
And he actually went so far as to advocate withholding alumni donations to regain control over all these liberals that they believed were running amok in academia.
Okay.
So we've got the 40s, we're rolling into the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a start.
Attacking those liberals and linking them with commies.
Yeah.
Sound
familiar?
So by 1958, we have the formation of the John Birch Society, which was formed by Robert Welch, who was a right-wing activist. The goal of the John Birch Society was to grow membership in order to eradicate the ideals of the liberal communists through pervasive propaganda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They used to just say it. It was propaganda.
Yeah,
that's what
that
we're doing.
Was in their like bylaws or rules, goals.
Propaganda.
Which is interesting because they use propaganda in the way that communism uses propaganda, but they were against communism.
Yeah, I know. It's this weird inverted sort of.
So they had over 100,000 members in the John Birch Society by the early 60s. and they tried their damnedest to impeach the Supreme Court judge, Earl Warren, after Warren voted in favor of civil rights, giving women the right to access birth control, abolishing mandatory school prayer, and worst of all, desegregating public schools.
Oh, they hated that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Rolling into the 60s now, the civil rights movement.
Yes.
Which was by far the most hated and most targeted subject of the conservative party and their rhetoric. In fact, the NAACP was routinely referred to as a communist organization.
That's hilarious.
NAACP, they believed, were commies.
Communists somehow.
Mm-hmm. And segregationist Southerners especially used this type of rhetoric and were able to garner support from conservatives across the country.
Okay.
So in one of those rare instances, the Southerners and the Yankees were able to unite under mutual hatred of Black people.
And a desire to see them live somewhere else.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so radicals and agitators of the civil rights movement were advocating for what they believed was socialism through greater government control, and thus they wanted America to fall to communism. That's what they believed that liberals or Democrats wanted to happen.
Right.
They we wanted
to bring down America and
to
make
fall
some
to
sort
communism.
Of communist country.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, I'm secretly trying to wait in a bread line.
Yes, can't wait. Sign me up. Okay, so now we're into the 70s and 80s, which saw the rise of the religious right. The things like the televangelists, like that Jerry Falwell guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. His son's been in the news lately.
He has. He has a thing.
He does have a thing.
Yeah.
Well, his wife has a thing.
Yeah. Well, I think
he has
a thing,
too, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, so the religious right began to join up with the political side, the conservative side, as they associated liberalism, socialism, and communism, which, by the way, they always interchange as the same thing.
Yeah, of course they do.
They use them interchangeably.
But they're all different things.
But they associated that with secularism.
Okay.
Which is, i.e., the devil's work.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
And so they united fronts with evangelicals in their mutual opposition to abortion, gay rights, and feminism, which they believed were all products of evil liberals.
Evil liberals.
Evil.
And their feminism.
Those evil liberals must be stopped.
Yeah.
And what I found, like, ironic or entertaining, interesting, is that even the actual collapse of the Soviet Union didn't stop
that wasn't
the conservatives
enough.
From linking liberals to communism and saying that Democrats were in bed with Russia. Because that had been a connection that they put together since the 40s, 50s, 60s, because, you know, the Cold War was a thing.
Yeah, but then after that was over, they didn't give...
The country fell... And they still kept going.
Yeah.
And it's still happening today.
Yeah, it is.
We're still considered communists, which is really funny. So then we get into the 90s. Mm-hmm. Those were a good time. Do you remember the 90s?
I do. I was in school.
You were there.
Yeah. There was. Remember one year where the blowjob was all everyone talked about.
That was big news. That was actually the later, the last end of the 90s.
Yeah, that's the main thing I remember about the 90s. Is that,
that's because you were a teenage boy.
Right. And for a year, everyone talked about blowjobs. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So by the 90s, the rhetoric of liberal hatred got a more permanent and widespread voice in the creation of Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
Rupert Murdoch. Fox News. And what I found interesting is that, like the magazines of the 40s and 50s, the television network was touted as being the necessary and needed voice of reason in a sea of liberal mainstream media.
Oh, yeah.
And they definitely pride themselves on that.
Well, that's still what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They haven't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rolling forward into the 2000s and through Fox News.
Yeah.
That whole Cold War era attacks, you know, against liberals was simply repackaged.
Yeah.
And then applied to more modern events and people. And liberals were cast as traitors who hated America.
Yeah.
Beaten eagles.
Yeah.
And conspiracies were not only humored, but shared as if they were real news, case in point, the birther myth against Obama, that the argument was that Obama was a Marxist Muslim Kenyan socialist.
Wow.
So how do you be all those things?
Yeah.
It's a very talented man. Mm-hmm. And that was basically almost verbatim the type of attacks used by conservatives back in the 60s.
Wow.
Against members of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, they just keep repeating the same thing.
They vomit the same bullshit decade after decade and just, like I said, repackage and reapply it to new people and new events.
Yeah, that's
over and over.
Crazy.
So now we're to today.
Uh-huh.
And we have Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
And he's by far the ultimate embodiment of conservative hate towards liberals, which I find really ironic considering he used to be a Democrat.
Yeah, he did for a long time, but nobody cares about anything that he used to do. No one cares about what he said 5 seconds ago.
That's true. It's what did he just tweet?
Yeah.
That's what we care
about. And that matters until he tweets something else.
And so there might have actually been a true conservative who at one point wanted to create policy, but the last 4 years have been nothing more than war talk against the corrupt, depraved, ruthless, anti-American, and evil radical liberals.
Yes. That's what it's sort of boiled down to. You're Rush Limbaugh, you're Sean Hannity, fat, angry, big-headed white men yelling into microphones about how the globalists are coming to take your freedom.
Yes. And what I found most interesting about all this information that I put together was how consistent they've been.
Yeah.
Since the 40s into the 50s and 60s, 70s till now, like they really haven't stopped in how they've labeled. It's been more noticeable, accessible, thanks in part to social media and also the fact that we have a completely insane president who tweets and says things like this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's distilled down. I mean, even with the slogan, Make America Great Again, that came from like the 60s, right? The same
thing. I think that
thing.
Was more playing on like the 50s. I think that was the picturesque white picket fence, you know.
And there's like been this question of whether or not, like with a lot of the people who were never Trump people that were like part of the Republican Party that now are just left alone because they don't like Donald Trump. The question they're asking themselves is, did the party leave me or has it been revealed to me what the party was the whole time and I'm completely not with it? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what all that demonstrates is that the party is where it's always been, well, at least since the 40s.
What they call that modern conservative, or modern Republican.
If you wanted to get trivial about all this, you could go back even further and then talk about the Republican Party being something different. So when we say always been this way, we mean since the 40s.
We're talking modern.
In modern times, always been this way. This isn't something that it hasn't been. It's just a distilled down form. Donald Trump's just the dumb Twitter long version of it.
He is. He is the malignancy of hate that's spreading around the country. And he uses that social platform to spew it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is. And it's gross because it's such a distillation. Like I said, it's what they've been subversively doing all along. And at times they're better at hiding it than others. And now it's just right out there in the open.
I guess I just don't understand why they still use that kind of language, though, and why they attack. Because I know that I'm a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I'm registered. I know that I'm a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel evil.
No, because you're not.
And I don't feel like I'm doing the devil's work.
Right. I mean, the thing is, my theory on that is that they watch their dads do it or their other powerful white men do it and it worked. And so they just emulate it. You know, like if I yell and scream and angry and point the finger and cast aspersion enough, then people will respect my anger. And so they just follow the same sort of pattern. It's what's been laid out before.
And Fox News is definitely a huge part of that. I know that for sure. And Rush Limbaugh is as well.
When I see somebody like Sean Hannity and then I see like McCarthy, Joe McCarthy back in the day, you know, yelling about commies and wanting to ship them all off. It's not any different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We live in a time where somebody as crazy as somebody like Marco Rubio is fundamentally like just off his rocker as he is, seems normal compared to the president, which is hard to even wrap your brain around.
Somehow Zodiac Killer Ted Cruz seems normal.
Exactly.
Compared to Donald Trump.
That's how how concentrated he is. It's like plutonium. He's like radioactive racism. It just radiates off of him and it deforms everyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
Turns them into racists too. Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that's kind of where we're at. It's this weird moment. I call it a distillation moment almost.
Well, here's the question that I have. What is a radical liberal?
What would be considered radically left in the world spectrum of left-right politics would be groups that want to abolish capitalism altogether.
Right.
Like Marxists. Some of them are communist or like anarchist light. And I call them that because how can an anarchist really be a group anyway?
Right. How can you organize?
Yeah. So I call those anarchist light.
Anarchist.
Yeah.
Anarchy light.
Yeah. That's what I call them. In theory, they're anarchists, but they also form a group. So then they're really not. And then like there's militia groups that are just anti-government, anti-capitalism. Just we want to get rid of everything.
There's those guys out in the desert with guns.
Yeah. Or the people that do like the seasteading where they like want to create their own weird country and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just don't want any rules at all. Those people would be what would be radical left, even though some of them aren't exactly left. I mean, that's kind of my point here.
Just radical.
Yeah, some of the anarchist groups are not just left wing. We would consider them to be right wing, but we put them all together on this left hand side of crazies that don't want any rules really, right. Except their own rules, which is kind of convoluted. But that's what the world on the world scale would be considered the very far left. On the world scale, what would be considered very far right would be countries that want to be white only, Christian only. They would want to ban or kill Muslims.
Or gays.
Yeah. That would be what's on the far right. So that gives you an idea of left and right. And then somewhere in that divide is the middle. I'm sort of thinking that the Democratic Party is much closer to the middle than the Republican Party is. And there's a lot of research to back that up. And they've done like sort of a compilation of all the manifest. It's called the Manifesto Project. Of all the manifestos of all like the major parties of world leaders. And they analyze their manifestos and like laid them out on a graph. And
so like, there's like a spectrum.
Yeah, going from left to right. And you will see very clearly like from the middle, the Democrats are right beside the middle, whereas the Republicans are a good ways down the chain. They're not all the way to killing Muslims.
Radical,
yeah, not
militia,
quite there yet.
Muslim murdering.
But they're much closer to that than they are the middle.
Interesting.
And Democrats are pretty much right next to the middle. From the median party, the party that would be in the middle, just to the left of that would be the Democrats. Just
like the American Democrat
American
Party.
American Democrats.
Like your Joe Bidens, your Hillary Clintons.
Just to the left of them, you have the British Labour Party. Right.
Right.
Right. We're a little bit more dim than the Americans, but still.
They have a spot of tea.
Yeah, they still drink tea and whatnot. They're all British. Then you get to the left of them would be the Socialist Party of Denmark.
Okay.
I don't know how to do a Dane accent.
Yeah.
So. Ja?
No, is that Danish?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to share my ignorance with everybody that's listening on my inability to do a Danish accent. But anyway, to the left of them would be the Green Party of Germany, which is farther left than our Green Party.
Oh. Okay.
Or the Greens Party is actually what it is. And
the Greens Party.
Yeah. And then they're getting into crazy land because right after them is like the Party for the Freedom of Animals.
Party?
Like the party that just wants to free all animals. Like
is that
that's,
like PETA?
Yeah, except more extreme.
Is that a political party?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's in Germany, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
How is that a political party?
It's just, it's one of their platforms, right?
Oh,
and that's what they name
like
the party.
It's like their main platform.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Freeing animals. Yeah, so we're talking, that's way at the end of the actual.
Yeah, you're getting far left.
To what the far left really would be. And that's kind of my point here is like them accusing the Democrats of being that. It's like they're way far away from that. There's a lot of parties in between. Now, think about from the median party, now we're going to go to the right.
Okay.
And to the right, you have the moderates of Britain. There's a party like the Moderates Party.
Right.
Then you have the British Conservative Party. And they're all like, most unorthodox. Oh, we need order. Yeah. And then to the right of them, you have the Swedish Conservative Democrats. And they're all like, yeah, we want black people to kind of go away. Like they won't want to kill. We want them to kind of go away, but not kill them. You know? To the right of them, you have the Canadian Conservative Party, which I imagine is pretty conservative. They're all like, don't know what you're talking about.
A boot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know Canada had... I mean, I know they had a conservative party, but I didn't realize where they fell on the spectrum.
Well, you notice we still haven't got to Republicans in America yet, so...
Oh, yeah.
The Canadian... That's my point, is the Canadian Conservative Party is still to the left of our
Republicans. It's still technically to the left of ours.
Yeah, because then to the right of them is, like, the Australia Freedom Party. Any party that names itself that...
Freedom!
You can kinda,
freedom!
It's like the Tea Party. Like, you know these people are starting to get crazy. Then you have the United States Republicans.
Okay.
Then after them, you would have only the Alternative for Germany party, which you can imagine what that would be.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Nudge. Another Party for Freedom, but this time in the Netherlands. Mm. And then the People's Party in Switzerland, which is just like straight up Nazis.
Wow.
Yeah. So as you can see, think about from that example, like the Republicans are much closer to the end of the line than Democrats are. It's pretty drastic, actually.
Yeah. So American conservatives are closer to Nazi-dom than American Democrats are to the People's Animal Freedom Party, which would be like the far left.
Or the furthest, the German Left Party or the German Greens Party, the far left German parties. All of politics in America shifted to the right. So what we think of as extreme left really isn't, because as I'm describing, what I'm describing to you about the extreme left doesn't seem like it lines up with any of our politicians, does it?
No.
Here's something that was presented on Fox News as evidence that Joe Biden was radical left. The Joe Bernie Pact calls for an ambitious $2 trillion climate change plans targeting zero carbon emissions by 2035. Because in this universe, apparently, a plan that takes 15 years is radical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a radical plan. To eliminate carbon emissions
in 15 years.
15 years. That is incredibly radical.
That's right up there with freeing all the animals.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And they...
Whoa.
They also conflate it with Antifa. You'll hear, like, the radical left. Antifa's an organization. It stands for anti-fascist.
But it's not really an organization.
Well, it's interesting because it started off in Germany as an anti-Nazi group from way back in the day. But they were always underground. And then it's only emerged in recent times as over a global organization that's been calling themselves Antifa because they oppose what they deem fascist organizations. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the name got adopted by people later on who were doing something kind of different, because originally it was like literally underground fighting the Nazis in Germany, which isn't really what they're doing now.
No, they're fighting Nazis above ground in the U.S. In protests.
Right. And they're saying like kind of who they are.
Yes.
So it's significantly different than its origin as far as the word goes. But they are known for using violent tactics at mass protests because they believe that it's using the same tactics that the fascists use. That's their argument. I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with that. I'm presenting that as that they're being called the same words that they call Elizabeth Warren, which is radical left. There's no way Antifa and Elizabeth Warren are even remotely the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Warren wanted to give us all a pass to go see a doctor if we get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that correlates with radical left.
To give you just a couple of other quick briefings on radical left, what would be radical? Things like abolishing prison. Abolishing the prison movement is something that's gained some traction recently. It goes along with defund the police, although defund the police is less further left because a lot of the times the defund the police movement, people just mean
redistributing the funds.
Or demilitarize the police. There are different versions of what fits under the quote-unquote defund the police banner that range in how far left they are. Mm-hmm. But I feel abolishing prisons is pretty far going on the left. Another radically left idea would be like abolishing ICE. Although I feel like that's not that radical either, because ICE has only existed since 9/11.
Yeah, I was going to say it hadn't been
immigration
very
police,
long,
right?
Right.
You don't need a separate organization to do that job. And so I don't think that's that radical of a thing, but it has the word abolish in it, so it generally gets put in the category of radical things.
Mm-hmm.
You notice they all use these words. And at one time, abolishing slavery was considered to be a radical idea.
Yeah.
I would like to, throw that in there too. And then there are people that would like to abolish private property, which is where I think I lose a lot of people because...
Yeah, I think even your leftiest lefts, you're going to draw the line with saying, yes, you can just have my property.
Right. I would like to educate people on what that term actually means or what these organizations say they mean by that. There's making a distinguish between personal property and private property. Personal property, they're okay with, and that's anything that you have that's movable, yeah, that you can move.
It's stuff that you own, the right. physical, tangible.
But the idea of owning land and property and saying only I get to choose what is done with this land, they want to get rid of that idea altogether. That's pretty damn radical.
That is radical, and I personally don't line up with that.
Yeah, well, I don't really line up with it either, but I can engage it mentally and not be afraid of it. I understand where they're coming from.
Oh, yeah. Hearing it doesn't make me, like, get triggered right. and want to, I don't know, yell at my television.
It's not the most frightening idea I've ever heard, but it's also not how I think. Mm-hmm. But I like reading about these kinds of things. Another radical left would be, you know, like I talked about earlier, the anarchism thing. But I did learn something interesting about anarchism. So in the early 20th century in Russia, they would jail socialists, anarchists, whoever, and anyone that disagreed with them politically, because that's how it was in Russia. That's how it still is in Russia.
Indeed.
And you had this organization, the Red Cross, that would work together to give books to political prisoners mm-hmm. in Russia. And what happened was they started as a Social Democrat Party, what was called that there, their Russian version of the Social Democrat Party, wanted to kind of direct their funds towards only helping the political prisoners that kind of aligned with them. And so another group branched off called the Anarchist Red Cross, and they later changed their name to the Anarchist Black Cross. Mm-hmm. And they still to this day are a quote-unquote anarchist organization on the far left that gives books to political prisoners no matter what their affiliation. It has kind of that humanist vibe where, you know, they don't accept religion, but they want to also be like secularly moral and demonstrate that, like, when if we think about something like anarchism, it sounds like only bad negative things. And they're saying, like, well, no, if we had no rules, then we would theoretically allow access to literature to any political prisoner, regardless of which one they were. It's kind of like a FU to the groups that pick and choose who they want to help around the world.
The ones that pick and choose and pride themselves mm-hmm. on being morally superior mm-hmm. through the work of God.
Right. And what they're saying is, we're anarchists and we're actually doing it right. And so isn't that hilarious, I think, is kind of the point.
But the conservatives would look at them and say they're doing the devil's work.
Yeah, and they're on the radical left. Mm-hmm. Which these ideas that I'm talking about, abolishing private property and whatnot, that are radical left, have been around for a long time. They're not new. And they're nowhere near what Bernie Sanders or AOC or Elizabeth Warren or any of these people that Donald Trump is calling radical left. Yeah, Joe Biden, nowhere near these ideas. And even these ideas aren't that scary if you listen to them and you acknowledge that you don't agree. I like to engage with them because it's fun to expand your mind. I guess that's what we have for you about the radical left.
I did want to read a quote.
Oh, yeah.
From David Walsh.
Okay.
Who is a writer and PhD and has a lot of educational background in, like, politics and origins and stuff. And he's actually where I got a lot of the research that I put together came from him.
Okay.
He said, "The American left is used to waiting for liberals to finally get ruthless. Through the eyes of the right, they always have been."
Hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. Back to that pervasive, long-term mm-hmm. carry forward of...
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Liberals being evil and doing the devil's work.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we're going to keep doing the devil's work here on the Carolina Snowflakes. Don't you worry.
Yeah. So stay tuned. And if you like what you heard, you know, you can always find us on Facebook at
Facebook.com/Carolina Snowflakes.
You can find us on our website at
Carolinasnowflakes.com.
And we would love to hear from you. Please send an email.
Carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.